Okay, I'm going to cheat a little time away from you guys on that part. So let's get to it. What did you find in those verses about how they were to remember the memorial of the Passover? It's permanent, right? Forever. Good. For 7 days, eat unleavened bread. So, yes, very good. What else? What? The first and the seventh day, there were to be a holy assembly. So gather all together, first and seventh day. So bookend it. Yes. What else? Yes. Yes. If you cheat, you're gone. Yikes. Remove all leaven from your house. That's a big deal. That's why Jews today, they completely clean their house. You know, from top to bottom, they do all the baseboards, they do the cobwebs, everything. It's all clean. I'm glad I don't have to do that. But yeah, leaven is gone from the house completely. Okay, what else? Anything else? Yes? That's what I saw, yes. On the first day and the seventh day, they could do no work. The other days, they could kind of work. But first and seventh day, no work except for preparing the food. Good. Let's see. I think you guys got everything. Except for I saw that it's on the, you're supposed to celebrate it from the 14th day to the 21st day of the month. So that's good. Okay, very good. So lots of instructions for that too. So the Passover included this 7-day memorial known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So when I mention the Passover tonight, I'm talking about the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, just so you'll know. What's interesting is that you can skim through the whole Old Testament and see how the Jews were celebrating and remembering the Passover. Remember King Josiah back in 2 Kings 23? So despite the fact that he had a horrible influence for his dad and his grandpa, that he learned about the Passover and reinstituted it. He goes, we got to do this thing. Even up to the time of Jesus, the Passover was being observed. In fact, interestingly, we all know that Jesus died during the Passover. Now, as we think about Jesus and the connection between his death and the Passover, let's notice some similarities between the two. So check out the chart on the next page. So I thought there's probably tons more, and if you talk to Jeff, he could give you a whole giant list of similarities and really explain everything, but I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to do is we're going to just look at both of them and just say, what is the connection between the two, and then go from there. So at the Passover, God saved his people from slavery, and God saves us from sin. So the connection is salvation, right? Slavery separated the Israelites from freedom. Sin separates us from God. So the connection is we were separated. The lamb was to be a young male without blemish. Jesus, as you said, was a young male without blemish. So the sacrifice requirements were the same. The blood of the lamb saved the Israelites. The blood of Jesus saves us. So blood saved is our connection. The blood stained the doorposts and the lintels. Jesus' blood stained the beams of the cross. So blood stained wood. The lamb was sacrificed on the 14th at twilight. Jesus was sacrificed and crucified at twilight. So same time. Blood was spread on the doorpost with a hyssop branch. Jesus was given wine to drink on a hyssop branch, plus that little sponge. So it's the hyssop as the connection. The lamb was eaten with unleavened bread and wine. We eat symbols of Jesus' body and blood, so the bread and the wine. Israelites had the opportunity to go to the promised land. We have an opportunity to go to heaven. So there's opportunity and freedom. So I just think that's super cool. And we could probably talk about that for a long time. And maybe Jeff will talk about it sometime with you. But I would like to continue on just keep that in your mind and just think about how cool that is, that there's lots of connections in the Bible, and that's just one example of lots of cool similarities between different things. As we continue, let's talk a little bit more about children and tradition. Look at the next page. Just look on the other side. We have another very, very famous, super famous scripture, Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9, teaches us to love God and teach our children to love God. So let's read that together. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. I love this scripture. The Israelites were commanded to love God 100% with every part of their being. Then they were to teach that memory verse to their kids, right? No. They were to teach their children to love God with all their being, 100%, totally and fully. Obey God and love him with everything you have. I mean, the memory verse is good, but that's not what we're talking about. So how were they to do this? How were they to teach their kids to love God with their heart, their soul, and their might? Well, by living it, by being good examples, and by lots of conversation. Lots and lots and lots of conversations. When was this supposed to take place? In the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. All day long, at any point during the day. Many times during the day would be appropriate to talk about God and why we love God and how we should obey him. So the Passover was a good time for teaching. It was not an ordinary week of partying. It was a memorial to become a tradition, to be passed down from generation to generation. Turn to the next page. This is a page called Significant Verses. I just can't get over how many times that in Exodus 12 and 13 that the Israelites were told to remember and observe the Passover. There's a huge, giant list. There's like 10 or 12 different times in those two chapters that God says, remember, celebrate, the generations, forever, permanent, all those words, over and over and over and over again. So that just tells me that really wanted them to do this. So I just wanted to quickly run down these scriptures. And like I said, there's probably five or six more that you could look at. But these are enough. So Exodus 12, 14, they were told to celebrate throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. Verse 17, observe this day throughout your generations as a, again, permanent ordinance. Verse 24, observe this event for you and your children forever. Verse 42, it is the night to be observed. For the Lord, for having brought them out from the land of Egypt, this night is for the Lord to be observed by all the sons of Israel throughout their generations. Verse 3 of chapter 13, remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, from the house of slavery, for by a powerful hand the Lord brought you out from this place. Verse 10, therefore you shall keep this ordinance at its appointed time from year to year. There's something about repetition. In these two chapters, like I said, there's at least 10 or 12 different times that God talks to them about observing the Passover. So it's really, really important. Now, with the rest of our time tonight, I want us to discuss traditions within our families. The purpose of tradition is to add meaning in our lives. Having traditions can create family bonds, like taking summer vacations every year at the same time, same place, or whatever, or like having special things you do on each holiday. Having traditions can create security and comfort for your children, like having the same bedtime routine every night, which I think is cool. It gives them comfort and peace. So what I want to concentrate on tonight, though, is how to use traditions to teach and reinforce our love and our obedience to God. Remember, we're looking for teaching moments in our children's lives every day, morning, afternoon, and night, all day long, be looking and thinking about how can I teach my kids to love God more. So I'm going to quickly share some traditions, some of which David and I did with our boys. While I share, I would really like for you guys to be thinking about some traditions that you guys might have in your families that will help all of us to teach our kids about loving God and obeying Him. So the next page, my last page, is a blank list, a blank sheet that I would like for you to use to jot down anything that when I'm sharing, if you like it, write it down to remember it, or if you have an idea, jot it down and you can share with the group when I get finished. Okay, so to start off, we had Saturday traditions when our boys were young. We all had our Bible lessons done. We all took a bath. We all got our clothes ready. Of course, I ironed all the clothes. And we got in bed early that night to prepare for getting up early and being ready for Bible class and worship the next day. My kids expected that every single Saturday. Saturday was not a stay out late, not a stay up late. We're home, we're getting in the bed, we're ready, Bible lessons are done, we're clean, all that stuff. And we also had some daily traditions. I call them routines, but we're going to call them traditions tonight. So we ate most of our meals together at the table, and this was a good time that we kind of checked in with our kids. And if they were at school, we could see, ask them how their day was, how their friends were coming along, how their grades were coming, if they needed any help, had any troubles with teachers or whatever. So it was a good time just to sit and talk and visit and find out about each other and offer help and encouragement. Many times throughout the years, we would have devotionals in the morning before school. Sometimes they were 3 minutes. Sometimes they may have been 20 minutes. Sometimes we may have just prayed as we're going out the door. Sometimes we would have studied a book of the Bible as ongoing or studied a topic that the kids were interested in. But we really tried to keep that going. And the tradition, our studies would change. We would do something for a while, and then we'd go on vacation, and that was gone. And then we'd start something else, and we'd do that for a while, and then we'd go on vacation, and then that was gone. So we just kept doing different things in our Bible studies. We tried to keep the tradition of doing it every day. Many times, David would take the boys out for a run and talk to them about spiritual things. So they couldn't get away. They just were running, and they were out of breath, and so David could just talk. They'd have to listen. So that was I think they have good memories of that. At bedtime, our tradition was we would have a little Bible story, of course, and then we would talk about our day, and then we would pray together, and then, of course, we would tickle them. I mean, always had to tickle them. So I think they had good memories of that, too. Okay, this is not in my notes. This is kind of dangerous. So I would always tell my boys I loved them when they went to bed, and because Todd would always say, "I love you, Mommy. I love you, too." He'd hug me, and John would go, "Thanks." And so for a long time, I had to train him to say, "I love you, too." And finally, he did. And now he tells me he loves me all the time. So that was hard. I said, "What? You're supposed to say you love me back." So I would hold him and hug him until he said he loved me. So it was fun. So that's, to me, a great tradition. All right, so some other traditions that can teach might be we can make teaching moments special and memorable by combining them with going out or going on a trip or spending time together in a quiet way. You could have a mother-daughter or a father-son weekend, grab a hotel or a cabin somewhere and go, this would be older probably, talk about sexual purity. So just go off and be alone for the weekend. Fathers could take their sons on a camping trip and talk about being a good dad or and being a good husband. Moms could take their daughters on a camping trip and, oh wait, oh yeah, why not? I would. I like camping. But probably more likely, moms could take daughters to breakfast every month and talk about being a good wife and a good mother. Dads could take their daughters shopping. I don't know if this is a good one or not. Dads take daughters shopping and then talk about modesty. I don't know. I never had to do that, so. I feel for you guys on that part. Or just when you notice that your kids are struggling, just take a walk or go to the park and sit and talk to them for a while. You can tell. If you're really paying attention, you can tell when your kids are struggling. And just go talk to them. So birthdays make great opportunities to pause together and share spiritual goals that you have for your children. So we followed some of these traditions with our boys. So we have a ninth birthday. We call it the talk birthday. The talk birthday. So we would go out on a formal dinner, go to a nice restaurant, dress up, shirt and tie, and I wear a dress, and we'd eat lots of good food. We would come home, and we'd put our pajamas on and sit on the living room floor, and then we would have the talk. The talk. And so it was good. It was good. Straightforward talk about sex and emphasizing sexual purity and the fact that they could always talk to us about sex, not other people necessarily. And what's funny is each boy responded a little bit differently. Of course, you know, we did Todd when he was 9, and John was at a babysitter's house, and then when it was John's turn, Todd was in the bedroom or somewhere else. And each of them responded differently. One of them would say, oh, really? Is that how it works? That's so cool. And the other one said, okay, that's all. I don't tell me anymore. I don't want to know anything else. Thank you very much. See you later. So it's just the difference in your kids. But it was important to do that. And maybe age 9 is not the right age for your kids. I don't know. But for our kids, it seemed like the right time. Maybe 7 is a better time now. I don't know. Maybe 13. I don't know. You decide. But have that talk sometime with all your kids. Okay, so the 12th birthday, we called it the freedom birthday. So the birthday boy would list some freedoms that he would like to have as a teenager. For example, maybe he wanted to stay up later than normal, or he wanted to get a cell phone. I don't know when you get cell phones these days, but it wasn't at 12 with our kids. And so when they listed their desires or freedoms, then we listed the responsibilities that they had to do to fulfill or to earn those freedoms. For example, they had to be able to get up on their own in the morning, like set an alarm clock and get up and get dressed and get ready for school and not wait for me to go and knock on their door and say, get up. Or they had to make good friend choices or always get good grades. So if you want some freedoms and you've got to have responsibility growing up doing that thing. All right, so the 13th birthday, we called it the connections birthday. I'm kind of embarrassed because I don't remember this one at all. David must have done it. So I guess I wasn't connected with my kids. Except at bedtime. Okay, so I think what David did was he took them on a trip and spent some time talking about how important it was for them to communicate and to talk with us during their teen years. And I think teen years are tough. It's hard growing up because you don't always want to talk to your parents when you're a teenager. So we tried to get them to always feel comfortable talking to us first. So stay close and keep talking. The 16th birthday, this was a favorite. We call this the Light of Wisdom ceremony. This involved our whole family. We would gather around in the living room. Candles would be lit, all the lights down low, just have candles. And we presented the boys, or the birthday boy, with a book. It was a book of letters that Christians had written to them specifically. And so we called some friends and said, hey, would you write a letter to Todd or Jonathan? He's turning 16. We'd like for you to encourage them in their walk with Christ and all that kind of stuff. Just lots of encouraging things. They were elders, Bible class teachers, older Christians, of course, that wrote these letters. Probably maybe 6 or 8 people helped us with that. And so we put all those letters in a book, typed them out, and real beautiful, and like a little scrapbook, and handed the book to our kids. And it was pretty special. The reason we did that is that there would be times we knew that as when they're adults, they would not feel comfortable talking to us, or even teenagers. And they would know that those people were there for them and that they cared about them and they could go talk to them, whether it is one of the elders or preachers or Bible class teacher or just an old friend. And I called Todd this week to ask him if he still had his book. He said, I know I have it, but we moved, so I don't know where it is. So he goes, I'm going to look for it again. So if I find it, I'll share it with you guys. It's pretty cool. Lastly, we tell our kids that obeying the gospel is the most important decision that they will make their whole life. So, celebrate it every year. Put that date on the calendar. Know when they were baptized. If you took pictures of their baptism, send those pictures to Walgreens and go pick them up and put it in a frame, stick it on the wall somewhere. Put the date on there. Make a shadow box or something. Make that special, since it was the most important decision of their life. Make it special. Set up some kind of tradition, like going out for ice cream on their birthday, watching the video that you took during their baptism, or just sit down and talk about the event and the good memories. So, those are my traditions that I kind of drummed up and David helped me with. There's lots and lots more, I'm sure. But now, it's your turn. And we still have time. So excited about that. So, what I really want you guys to do is just kind of, if you've been thinking about it, maybe you actually have something in your mind. And it could be anything from something you did one time, or something you do every single year, every week, or for every kid. Share with us what you have, some of your traditions. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yes. And yes, please speak loudly so we can all hear. Very good. I love that. That's a great way to start. Thank you, Nancy. Love it. All right. We're on a good track. Yes, ma'am. That's beautiful. I love that. Great idea. Great idea. Anybody else? Oh, two. Yes. Diane, you go first. Great, great idea. I love that. I love that.
I'm not as organized as some of y'all are. I keep it simple in my house. And so, but one of the things we used to do is every time Hayden and Haley would leave, if I was there, I would say, remember who you are. And that just became a tradition. And they expected that. And then as they got older and they started driving, I would strategically leave post-it notes in their cars. And it depended on kind of the mood that we were having that day as to what message I left.
That's great. Post-it notes are great for everything. That's very good. Okay. Yes. That's wonderful. I love that. Yes, ma'am. I think we should all do that. I love that. That is beautiful. Yes, ma'am. Yep, Yolanda. That's really funny. I have to tell you this. This is not a tradition, but it was a punishment. But it kind of goes along with that. So we had a repenting bench, and it was my piano bench. And so when the boys were fighting, And one of them would come and say, Mom, John did this. And he'd say, they're just fighting. And I'd say, go to the repenting bench. And I wouldn't fix it for them. They would have to go there and sit back to back, and they would have to work it out. And one of them had to, sometimes they both had to repent to each other for what they did, and then they had to say, I forgive you. And so then until they both said, I repent of this sin or whatever, and I forgive you, not until that moment could they get up and come talk to me. And they were stuck there on that bench. And most of the time, one would say, let's just do it and get done. and the other one would say, I'm not budging. And so they sat there a long time. But anyway, that just made me think of that. I love that idea to sing to each other. Good job. Yes, Yvette. That's great. But it's not you, it's God, right? Wow, that's great. Yes, ma'am. Oh, that's good. So when you're getting out, just get to God on your mind. Very good. Yes. Wait a minute. You already said something. Can she share twice? Yes? Okay, go ahead. Was that just to kind of get rid of them? That's what it sounded like to me. Maybe I misunderstood. But. Yes, Ashley. That's great. I love that. I think it's funny that you told the telemarketer that you loved her. Yes, Katie. Thank you. That's great. We always need to be thoughtful about all those people that take care of us all the time. Really good. Really good. See anybody else? Yes. Very good. Yes, Jill.
I think my mom kind of did it because she wanted some rest every day at that rest time or nap time, because some of us took rest and some of us actually napped. And my brothers were 5 and 7 years older than me, so I think it's really their fault. And she was trying to get some rest from it. She had that whole Pearl Burks Bible story, and she would lay in bed with us. We'd all get in bed, and she would lay with us and read us every day.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. As you know, you look back and my boys were gone and everything, but I'm sure all of us can look back and say, man, I wish I would have done this a little bit more and not this so much. But right now, I actually found the new word the other day. And David said it's not a word, but I looked it up and it is. It's called, you probably already know what it is. It's intentionality. And that, of course, it just means to have intentions, you know, be a mind of being intentional about teaching your kids and about just paying attention. Don't just kind of fly by the seat of your pants and, well, we might do that tomorrow. Well, I forgot to do it today. Just get it done. Find a time to do things, to say things, watch your kids, and for that matter, all of us. You know, if we pay attention to each other, we can pay attention and see that you're struggling. If we know each other well enough, we can see that we're struggling and that we need help. So it can kind of go into our entire life, I guess. Is there anybody else that I just missed that wanted to share something? Yes. You're right. Like at least 3 times a day.
Yes.
At least 3 times a day you're going to pray. And then if you pray at bedtime, that's 4 times. So just keep that all going. Going back to the Jews and their Passover traditions and the meal, David did that slide for me. I thought it was pretty cool. I didn't do it. But they all gather around. Just the idea of those little children, the one little child asking those questions, made me think, why can't we do that every single time we get together? Be intentional about talking to our kids about spiritual things, not just about, hey, we got to go to baseball practice in 5 minutes. You hurry up and eat. You know, be thoughtful about what you're doing every day, because every day is a day that's lost if you don't use it. So that wasn't in my notes. That was kind of weird. But just use the time that you have, because it's going to be gone. And I know I'm talking to a lot of women that their kids are gone like mine, but maybe we can help others too. So that's all I have. So I did want to say one last thing. With all these ideas, the key, I think, is to help your kids connect these traditions to important Bible principles. Not just say, well, that's the right thing to do, but talk about why it's important that God is happy with us. Make teaching moments as much as possible enjoyable. The goal is to teach our kids to love God and obey Him. And I hope that by studying the Passover tradition tonight, that we can learn from it and create some traditions of our own that teach, and then we can pass on to our children. That's all I have. Is there someone that's going to say a prayer? Okay.
With me, please. Most gracious and kind Father, we come to you asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins, whether it be in word, thought, or deed. Lord, give us a tender heart toward your word. Give us the willingness to be obedient. Lord, we come this night thanking you for the teacher. Lord, but we come thanking you most of all for being our Passover. We are so grateful. We're so grateful for your sacrifice and your kindness toward us as your people. Lord, enter the heart of our children that they will wrap themselves around your word. Guide us as women. Lord, help us to have the right speech. Help us to develop those traditions that glorify your name. We're so grateful for everyone who has put on this seminar, Lord. Be with us and protect us as we leave, Lord. And if it be your will, let us all come together again on tomorrow to glorify your name. Just thank you, Lord, for the foreshadowing of the Passover, that it has increased our understanding of coming to worship you and to partake in the communion that represents you as our Passover. Lord, when it all is said and done, and we get to that last hour, we're asking for a peaceful hour to die in. And Lord, we're asking that we can forever live with you. This prayer I offer in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.